This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. How does God respond to our prayers? Ultimately, I think he basically has two answers, two categories that all of his responses to us can fall. Welcome. This is episode 5 of season 2 of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. Ryan Viramontes is here in our makeshift studio here today. So good to have you here. It's Monday. This is a little weird.
Yeah, it is.
normally we try to record on Tuesday, so we're doing this a day early for no other reason than we thought it'd be a good idea. I'm not sure, but so Monday morning, you know, you feel like you need to be unhurried on Monday morning, hopefully. So if you get this podcast a day early this week, probably be available on Tuesday. Now you know why, but so kind of as after Sunday, Monday is always kind of a pickup day. How was your weekend?
Busy, but you know, fun. You know, the kids are always keep us busy on the weekends. So.
Do you play hockey over the weekend?
I didn't, which I'm trying to see if I can handle playing on Sundays. I have a lot of friends that want me to play.
Not Sunday mornings.
Sunday mornings.
Oh, good. All right.
Not Sunday mornings, but they want me to play Sunday night, and it's just too hard with the kid. I mean, being here at church with the kids, and then they're toast and. You know, then to turn around and be like, oh, by the way, babe, I'm going to go play hockey on a Sunday morning, you know.
Or Sunday night.
Sunday night, man, not Sunday
morning. Don't scare me like that. I don't want you breaking it to me here on the podcast that you're going to stop leading worship and start playing hockey on Sunday mornings.
I'm not that good to play Sunday morning.
Well, so Monday's a little bit of a pickup day, right?
Yes, it is. Very much so. Yeah. I'm feeling it right now.
We had a busy weekend. We were busy with ministry events, a lot of different things going on, but we did take a walk at the Safari Park, which is one of our favorite things to do. And someone gave us a gift card to Cheesecake Factory. I never go to Cheesecake Factory. Yeah. Did you guys ever go?
I've maybe been a handful of times and it's, I don't know. How did you feel about it?
Well, I mean, I'm always intimidated by Cheesecake Factory because they have this menu that is the size of a book. You know, it's like, we need to study this thing. I needed this a few days ago if I knew what I'm going to order.
Right.
And then so for some reason, it's off the radar.
Right.
But I did have, we had the gift card, so we went.
Yeah.
And I had the shepherd's pie, and it was quite good.
Yeah.
I would recommend it. If you go there, I'm going to recommend that.
The menu is, like you said, it's a book, right? It's a mile long.
Yeah.
And I always find myself like flipping through it. And then I ask Mandy, I'm like, what are they known for?
Yeah.
Like what, like, you know, when you go to like a taco place,
cheesecake.
Okay. That's what she always said.
Cheesecake.
That's what she. That's her answer to me every time. But I go, but what they're what like? What meal are they known? Like I know what they're known for dessert wise.
Right,
it's on the building.
Yeah,
but like what? You know what I mean? Like what's their dish that I go like? That's what everybody comes here for. You know?
Yeah.
You know, like at a taco stand,
you get Mexican, you get Thai food, you can get Italian.
Jumbo.
Burgers, steak. Yeah, exactly. Gumbo.
Like, gumbo, right. I said gumbo. I meant gumbo.
Exactly. They've got it all.
Yeah.
But the shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie.
I guess that's British or something, but that was pretty good.
Okay. I'll try that next time I find myself at a Cheesecake Factory.
All right. Well, it's Monday morning. We're catching up from the weekend. Hope you guys had are having a good week as we go into it. I'm really excited about the new focus of our podcast. We're starting a podcast series here that's called Jesus Wants to Know, and we're going to be looking at the questions that Jesus asked in the Gospels. There are, someone counted like 135 questions that Jesus asked in the Gospels, and a number of those are really relevant to our lives today. As far as if we think that's still a question that Jesus would ask us today, and we are, you know, the question that he asked more often than any other question is, "What do you want me to do for you?" which surprises me. It, mm-hmm. it tells me something about how generous God is and how really he wants to engage us. I made a comment on Sunday that Satan has distorted religion. So a lot of people think religion's question is, what are you going to do for me? You know, God asking us, what are you going to do for me? But so I'm just floored by the fact that Jesus so often in the Gospels asks the question, what do you want me to do for you? God is a generous God who really wants the best for our lives, but often we don't have a good answer to that question. Our view of what we need or what we want or what would be best needs to be altered by him. And so really it comes down to two answers or responses that I think Jesus gives when we tell him what we would like him to do, when we ask, when we pray, when we sure. bring our requests to him. There's really, you know, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of answers that he could give us, but they all fall under two basic categories. They are either let's go or let's grow. And I think that's super memorable if you think about it that way. Let's go or let's grow. And I think that's a better way to think about it. Over the years, I've heard so many people say, you know, God always answers our prayer, but he either says yes, no, or wait. Mm-hmm. And that's a helpful way to think about it. I probably taught that myself. Sure. I'm not down on that perspective, but I think it's better to think about it in terms of let's go and let's grow. And that kind of came out of the message on Sunday. And it's a fresh way for me to think about it. And mm-hmm. the more I've thought about it and some of the conversations I've had with people, even yesterday afternoon, have made me realize that really, I think, is a good framework mm-hmm. for us to think about his responses to us. So I want to go into that a little bit better. Again, I'm not down on yes, no, or wait. You know, the problem with all my messages now being online is that right. everything I have ever taught, people can track it down. And I'm sure if I said, no, I think this is way better, someone's going to tell me, well, Doug, you did say that. You
right,
know?
Right, right.
I probably have.
I have the footage right here of you saying the exact opposite.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Exactly. So I think for a long time, I've thought about it in those terms.
Right.
And it's, you know, not a bad way to think about it, but it is kind of hard because everything you ever said, you know, from a preaching standpoint right. is now
it's online
searchable. You
right.
can find it.
Yes. right. Yes. Yeah. That's a lot of pressure, I think, you know, to make sure, you know, I mean, I know you spend so much time preparing and putting so much work and effort into your messages and things like that. And so it's a lot of pressure to say, okay, did I already say this way? Like, you don't contradict myself, but allowing yourself to grow, you know, from 5 years
yeah,
ago
exactly.
where you go, well, maybe I said that, but this is, I yeah. think, a little bit of a better mindset to put ourselves in.
Yeah, I feel like I'm always fine tuning it, making it a little bit more in line with how God is growing me.
Sure.
And teaching
sure,
me as
sure.
well. But
yeah,
everywhere you go, everything you say, everything you do is on camera now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You catch it all.
Yeah.
Right?
A wise man once told me that, you know, every time you step out your front door, you have to assume you're on camera. So
these days you do.
These days.
Yeah. We sometimes house it we don't house it, but we
right,
kitten
right.
sit
yes,
for
yes.
Our cat sit for our neighbors. And we go over and, you know, we're at their house and everything. And then I go, you know, we're probably on camera right now. You know, don't pick up a vase or, you know, get too comfortable on their couch.
Yeah, you're
know?
Right, yeah.
Put my feet up on their couch. They're probably
exactly.
watching everything we're doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You're like, oh, this is an interesting color for a carpet. You know, like,
yeah. Oops.
Oops.
And I love it. Wink, wink, honey. Right?
Yeah, right, right.
We love this carpet. Wish we had it.
Yeah.
70s shag is coming back.
It's coming back. It's retro now, baby.
I think it is, actually.
I think you're right, actually.
Actually, I don't know. Anyway, so I'm sure I've said yes,
sure.
no, wait.
Sure.
God answers that. That's a great way to think about it. Four reasons why I like let's go and let's grow.
Nice.
Better is what I want to do. So the first reason that I like it better, when we say God says yes, no, or wait, it makes it sound like our prayers and our inquiries of God are transactional. It leaves it like, I just want to get a yes and no. You know, I just need to get an answer. And it makes it more about seeing God in this capacity of just, you know, he's the one that just gives us our answers. And it focuses more on what we're seeking rather than, you know, our relationship with him. It focuses on the answer, and which is appealing. Mm-hmm. I think it's appealing because that's usually our focus when we're asking those things. We are really focused on what we want. But in the end, God's not a vending machine to give us what we want. He's not a money tree. He's not a wish distributor. And I think when we think in terms of that, we're too focused on the answer and less focused on the experience,
right,
that God wants us to go through. It also still leaves us in the camp that we're trying to persuade God. We're trying to get him to see things our way. And we hope it's a yes. We hope it's not a no. And if it's a wait, well, that's better than a no. But it still becomes very transactional. My prayers, my encounter with God is meant to get him to do what I want him to do. Secondly, if you think about it, if his answers are yes, no, or wait, well, no becomes pretty negative. If we go, God just said no, that feels like the end of the story. That feels like there's no room to go from there. Right. Well, I guess he just said no. And is that really the way to think about it? As you're going to see in a moment, if you substitute that with let's grow, mm-hmm. suddenly that's way more hopeful.
Right.
It's like, even though he's not answering the prayer the way I want him to, there's some progress mm-hmm. that could be made. There's mm-hmm. something here. It's not just no, end of story. It's let's grow.
Right.
Let's see where we can go from here.
Mm-hmm.
I also like let's grow or let's go better than the other is because it's way more relational.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the word let's is really powerful. I was thinking about this yesterday afternoon, and it's probably something I would have wanted to add into my message or just kind of spend some time on as well, is the word let's is really critical there, because we're now, whatever God's saying, however he's leading, he's wanting us to do it together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's this relational process. It's not just, okay, I got my answer. I'm good. I'll take off. You know, thanks for saying yes. Now I'm on my own. I'll check in again when I need you to, you know, answer something else.
Right, right.
Even when he says yes, it's let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this together. It's this relational part of God, not so much good. I got the answer I wanted. It's so easy, I feel like, for us to pray fervently about something and then God answers and we're like, we moved on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and there's that story in the Bible about the 10 lepers that Jesus healed, and 9 of them forgot to say thank you.
Right.
They didn't come back. And so Jesus longs for us, for his answers to our prayers to be, engage us in a relationship with him
mm-hmm.
more deeply.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if he says no, that's not the end of the story either. It's let's process this. And even
right.
if he's saying wait, let's wait together. So the word let's there mm-hmm. to me is it reminds us that our walk with him is relational. I don't know. Does that kind of make sense to you
yeah.
as far as a different way to think about it?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking like the verses that say like to wait on the Lord or when somebody, you know, says that, oh, I'm waiting for an answer, or I'm waiting, you know, it's like, but they're actively doing something in that waiting period. You're not just sitting on your front porch, you know, just yeah. kind of like not doing anything. You know, you can take that opportunity to say, okay, maybe I do need to grow in some other areas, you know, in my, you know, walk with Christ, you know?
Yeah. And it's always an invitation then to include God in that waiting process.
Yes. Yes.
So it's not just, the scripture doesn't say just wait.
Just wait.
It says wait on the Lord.
Right.
And
right.
so that, that second part is key, that right. where it's this process that he wants to be involved in yeah. along the way. Yeah. So I love that let's yeah. is a part of the thing cool. he says to us. Yeah. Finally, the fourth thing is just that it's to me, it's more direction oriented rather than goal oriented. When we talk about yes, no, or wait, it's sort of like, well, yeah, we're just focused on the goal, what we're trying to achieve, what, mm-hmm. what we hope is going to happen. I think that let's grow or let's grow sounds more process oriented, mm-hmm. a little more direction oriented. It's like we're just journeying together mm-hmm. with God. Even if it's yes, let's go. Let's go into this mm-hmm. and see what it leads to. If it's grow, let's include God. You know, let's see what God has for me. Right. Let's grow through this. Right. And so I love that. That it's more direction oriented. I think Jesus cares more about the direction we're going mm-hmm. than what we've obtained.
Yeah.
And so in this, the passage that we looked at on Sunday, Jesus actually said that question, what do you want me to do for you? To two guys first, and then to one guy at the end. The first two were James and John, mm-hmm. these, you know, experienced disciples. And their answer was pretty comical. You can look it up in Mark chapter 10, that what they thought they wanted Jesus to do, it ended up Jesus saying, really? I don't think you know what you're asking.
You sure about that?
And then he said, let's grow. Right. I mean, he didn't say it that way, but that's really the heart of his message is he spent a lot of time with them to help them see that their prayer request, their inquiry of him was something that they needed to grow in. They needed mm-hmm. to see it differently. Then he said it to this guy at the side of the road who had never met Jesus, who was blind, a guy named Bartimaeus. He said, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, I'd like to see. And Jesus says, go.
Yeah.
He said, let's go. He didn't say let's go, but he said, go. Your faith has healed you. Mm-hmm. And the blind man, Bartimaeus, now starts following Jesus.
Right.
Starts journeying with Jesus. So here's two sets of individuals. If you think about it, the first two guys who are in our estimation would be, well, they're the disciples. They're the ones that we get, you know, they made it to the Last Supper. They're in the famous painting. Mm-hmm. They got their picture taken with Jesus there at the Last Supper. They're the who's who's. Mm-hmm. John wrote, you know, kind of a gospel, pretty well known.
Yeah.
and yet they are, you know, they're missing the mark
right.
with Jesus. Right. And then you've got the guy on the side of the road who arguably doesn't even know Christ yet. He's mm-hmm. not a believer yet. Mm-mm. He just heard about him and he gets a very favorable answer. He says, let's go. And to me, that explains why. These two, that's why I like this let's go and let's grow so much, because it doesn't matter where you are in your spiritual journey. We still sometimes are short-sighted, and no matter what, Jesus is inviting us to move forward mm-hmm. with him. Let's grow or let's go. Both of them are forward-oriented answers. No feels like a hard stop.
Right.
It feels like a red stop sign at the end of the road. Okay, I guess I better change directions. Let's grow feels like a movement mm-hmm. forward.
Mm-hmm.
You and I are sitting at this round table here in my office, and I'm just, you know, for just to illustrate this, let's imagine that Jesus is at the center of the table, and then all the people in the world are on the table,
sure.
scattered all over. You know, some are closer to Jesus, some are way out at the edge, very far from Jesus. Sometimes if that were the analogy we're using, some people would think that the closer you are to the center, the better off you are.
Right.
You know, that's better. And we would certainly put James and John in that category. They were his disciples. They were closer than most people.
Mm-hmm.
back mm-hmm. then. But you could look at that differently. You could look at it more, not so much the question of where they are in proximity to Jesus, but which direction are they going?
Mm.
Are people at the table moving towards the center? Or are they stagnant or are they moving away from the center?
Right.
And I think Jesus cares more about which direction we're going rather than where we are, how much we've attained, how much knowledge we have, how much experience we have, how much we are, you know, we've read the Bible, we've gone to church, we've done all the things. Jesus cares about which direction we're going. And either no matter what his answer is to us, he's always saying, let's move closer to the center.
Yeah.
Let's grow or let's go.
Right.
Either way, it's movement towards him. It's movement towards following him. Mm-hmm. And to me, that becomes a really helpful way to think about it. I'm always, you know, when I'm talking with people, I think about that analogy a lot. And I'm always thinking, what direction are they going? Mm-hmm. And how can I encourage them wherever they are in their spiritual journey? How can I encourage them to turn inward towards the center, towards Jesus,
towards
following God?
Right, right. Yeah, I think it's one of those where I try and put myself in a place mindset-wise of being a vessel where it's like I'm just trying to point people in the Christ direction, you know, like, you know, where I don't want to get in the way, you know, sometimes and, you know, kind of allow people to move toward closer to him, you know, I think is ultimately what he would want. And then, you know, obviously what I would want too.
Yeah.
You know,
so absolutely. Yeah. I think that's our task. That's the opportunities we have.
Sure.
It's just to point people towards Christ. That's why sometimes I'm more excited about those conversations with people that are on the fringe.
Yeah.
Because I see something in them that's moving them in the right direction.
Yes.
That's just gets me really excited.
Right.
And I get to be there as they either cross the line into a life of faith or they're moving in that direction or they've stepped in, but they're still, you know, clueless in a lot of ways, but they're moving the right direction.
Right.
It's just, to me, very exciting. And sometimes it's so frustrating to be with people that have, you know, all this spiritual mileage, but you can tell they're just either, you know, kind of stalled out or they're even going backwards.
Right.
Values and their perspective is really moving more away from Jesus rather than closer to him.
Right.
And to me, I think, you know, I think that, you know, is why a guy like blind Bartimaeus in this story, who had no clue about Jesus other than he had heard that he did miracles.
Right.
And he called him the son of David. So he apparently knew that he could be the Messiah.
Sure.
That term probably had that kind of baked into it. But other than that, he had really no encounter with him. But he had faith, and the story ends with him following Jesus. Well, that's exactly what Jesus wanted.
Right.
He was on the side of the road, kind of off the side, discounted by the society. The story is really cool. I don't want to geek out too much of it, but the story is cool because all the people around him are discouraging him
from Christ.
They're like, be quiet. Don't bother Jesus. You know, don't you see he's, you know, an important person?
Yeah.
And he keeps shouting all the more. And Jesus sees he sees the direction that he was moving.
Yes.
And he responds, let's go.
Yes. Yes.
So I don't know. Hopefully that's helpful for people to think about that. You know, it gives us a way to process when we don't feel like what we're praying about, what we're hoping for, what we desire is materializing the way we want it to. We can still know that God is saying, let's grow.
Mm-hmm.
Let's grow through this. And when it happens, it doesn't mean that we're super spiritual. We must be disciple material, you know. When it happens, when he says "let's go," it just means that it's a step closer to following him,
in his
bigger plan. So
for sure.
Feel like that's anyway super is super helpful to me to think about that way.
Yeah.
Well, this is Unhurried is supposed to be like sitting down having a cup of coffee together. This morning, I'm having tea, together. On a Monday morning. And thanks for joining us. By the time you guys are catching this, who knows what day of the week it is for you. But whenever it is, I'm glad that, you know, we have some listeners and some now some viewers who are participating. We've got this, you can catch it either in audio or video format. And as always, let us know you're following along at unhurriedpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks, Ryan, for producing this. It's a lot of work. We've kind of taken this a notch up, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
This has been a deeper dive into a message that I gave from Mark 10 on February 2nd, 2025. If you'd like to listen to the corresponding message, you can catch that at the Green Valley Church podcast or on the Green Valley Church YouTube. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle, and I look forward to talking soon.